Scripture reading for today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Listen now for the word of God. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people. And our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered there. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, I pray now that you would pour your Holy Spirit through me, that these words might truly become your living word to your people. And I pray that you would open up each of our hearts and minds that we might receive that word exactly in the place that we need to hear it. For we pray this in the name of our risen and reigning Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It was the afternoon of Easter Sunday, and two of Jesus' disciples were on their way from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus as they attempted to come to grips with all the events and the disappointment of the last few days. For they had had great expectations for Jesus. But he had been nailed to a cross and buried in a tomb along with all of their hopes. Now, one of these disciples was named Cleopas, but we don't know who the other one was. This disciple of Jesus could be anyone, really. Maybe it's you. Now, the text does not tell us why these two disciples were on their way to Emmaus. Maybe it was their hometown, or maybe they had relatives there with whom they could stay, or maybe it was just a good place to hide out. After all, we all have hiding places where we go when we are afraid, or when our hopes have been shattered, or when we just want to escape. Maybe for you, it's your bedroom, or a drive in the car, or a pack of cigarettes, or a drink. Maybe it's reading a book, or going to see a movie, or buying a new outfit, or taking a trip. Whatever it is that you do to get away from your pain and disappointment and make yourself forget, that is what Emmaus is all about. Well, as Cleopas and his companion were on their way to Emmaus, another man comes along and joins them on the way. Now, we know that this man is actually the resurrected Jesus, but the text tells us that the two travelers were kept from recognizing him. To them, he was just a stranger. Well, when the stranger asked the two of them what they were discussing, they both just stopped there in their tracks and stood there looking sad. Cleopas said, "Are you the only one around that doesn't know about all the things that have been going on here lately?" "What things?" the stranger asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they said, "who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people. But our chief priests and leaders, they handed him over to die and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." We had hoped. Surely there is not a one of us here today who has not experienced the pain of disappointed hope. And we too had hoped for many things. We had hoped that the surgery would be successful. We had hoped that the marriage would survive. We had hoped to have had a job by now, or a spouse by now, or a child by now. We had hoped to have conquered the addiction. We had hoped that our children would have kept the faith. We had hoped that the cancer would be destroyed. We had hoped that our loved one would not have died. We had hoped that our lives might have turned out differently. We had such hopes. Now, one of the most difficult aspects of our faith that we all have to struggle with is the fact that Jesus does not fulfill all of our hopes and dreams. And like his disciples, we often have great expectations for what Jesus would do in our lives. And yet we too often end up disappointed when we realize that Jesus is not exactly the Savior we had hoped for. For you see, Jesus is not hope on a rope. He's not hope on the leash of our expectations. And eventually, he will take all of our expectations to the cross. And when this happens to you, when your hope has died, then you too are on the road to Emmaus. Now, I can't think of a better metaphor for our misunderstanding and false expectations for Jesus than the fact that these two disciples of his did not recognize their risen Lord when they saw him. I mean, these were two of Jesus' own. They had spent lots of time with him. They'd traveled around with him. They'd listened to him teach. They'd watched him perform miracles. They had eaten many meals with him, and yet they still did not know who he was. To them, he was just a stranger on the road. And one of the most interesting things about all the post-resurrection stories of Jesus in Scripture is how often he was unrecognized by his own followers. Now, this might seem incredibly odd to us, but the truth is, they didn't recognize him for who he really was before he died either. They all kept placing expectations on Jesus as the Messiah they thought he should be. So when they looked at him, what they kept seeing was the new King of Israel who would lead them into victory over the Romans, or the rising political star on whose coattails they could rise to power and privilege, or the miracle man who with a wave of his hand could take away all of their problems. What they did not see was the Lamb of God who would be slain to take away the sins of the world. Remember, Peter even tried to argue him out of it. Their expectations for Jesus blinded them to who he really was and what he was really there to do. And if that was true while Jesus was still alive, then why should it have been any different after he was raised from the dead and he appeared to them unexpectedly in a mysterious resurrected body? And if this was true for Jesus' first disciples, why should it be any different for us? The truth is, we still have a hard time recognizing Jesus when we encounter him on the road of life. And as long as we keep placing expectations on Jesus for what we think he ought to be doing in our world and in our lives, we will continue to miss him when he comes alongside us, for he usually does not appear in the ways that we expect. No, he still comes to us as a stranger in our midst, turning our expectations upside down. He may come to you in the guise of a teacher or a coworker, or a nurse, or a neighbor. He may come in the form of a checkout clerk at the grocery store, or a waiter in a restaurant. He may appear in the form of a little child, or an elderly person who needs help with a door, or even a stranger sitting next to you in the pew. But whatever form he chooses, Jesus just keeps showing up in our lives, challenging us to believe, even when all of our hopes have died. Especially then. For as Craig Barnes writes, the Christian faith is not about getting what we had hoped to get. As the story reveals, the Christian faith is about the strange miracles of God that unfold only after our hopes have also gone to the cross. And there's nothing like disappointment to open your eyes to the strange ways the miracles of Christ unfold. As long as we keep limiting Jesus with our expectations, he will remain an elusive presence to us, difficult for us to see. But what this story assures us is that during our most difficult moments in life, when our world has been turned upside down, when our lives have been shattered, when our hopes have been crucified, it is precisely then that the risen Savior comes alongside us and walks so closely with us on the way. And if we can learn to look with eyes that have not been blinded by expectations, but rather sharpened by anticipation, we just might catch a glimpse of the risen Savior in our midst. Well, after Cleopas and his companions share with their still unrecognized Lord all the sad and perplexing events that had taken place, a somewhat exasperated Jesus chastises them for their failure to believe. And then he begins to explain to them all the things that the scriptures said about him. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a part of that Bible study? But while he's still teaching them, they arrive at the village, and Jesus made as if he was going to continue on. After all, Jesus will never force himself on anyone. But the two of them urge Jesus to come in and stay with them, And so he did, because Jesus will never refuse an invitation. And while they were all sitting together at a table, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then this stranger gave this bread to them, and suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. Why then? Well, maybe they had been there in the upper room on Thursday night when Jesus had done this very thing with his disciples. Or maybe they had just eaten with him often enough that they had learned to recognize his ways at the table. Or maybe this is just the way the risen Christ chooses to reveal himself to us. Regardless, in this ordinary act of giving thanks and breaking bread, at last they knew their risen Lord. And then he disappeared. Which is to say, in the words of Edmund Stimley, you can't nail God down to a dining room table and the breaking of bread any more than you can nail God down to a cross with real nails. After all, this uncontrollable Savior is risen indeed, and he's on the move. And he remains free at all times and in all places to be who he will be, and he will not be contained by our expectations. And so now, there's no telling what he may do next or how he may appear. But one thing we can be sure of is that Jesus will always be there with us on our darkest days, even when we struggle to recognize him. And it's often on those dark days when we have the hardest time seeing that he is there with us. But do not let that trouble you or fill you with doubts. For as the Apostle Paul reminds us, we walk by faith and not by sight. And it is by faith that we come to this table, where we get to participate in the miracle of eating with our risen Lord. Oh, I know by sight it may appear that we're just eating some ordinary bread and drinking some ordinary juice with some friends and perhaps some strangers. But for those who come to this table with the eyes of faith, there is more going on here than what may appear. For by a strange miracle of the Holy Spirit, this is the body and the blood of the Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sins of the world. And in this ordinary meal, the risen Christ continues to come alongside us, and he nourishes us, and he cleanses us, and he comforts us, and he heals us. And as we continue to come to the sacrament with anticipation, and as we learn to recognize his ways at the table, we just might catch a glimpse of the risen Savior in our midst. For though he still often comes to us as a stranger, Jesus is closer than you know. And he's challenging you to believe and to start living your life with this earth-shattering, death-defying thing we call resurrection hope. For if the cross could not defeat him and the tomb could not contain him, then heaven only knows where he may show up next or to what surprising lengths he will go to in his mission to save you. So do not be afraid when it appears that the hope in your life has died. Come back to worship and hear once again the good news of Easter, that the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and he's waiting for you on the road ahead with new life in his hands. Because not even death itself can stand between the risen Lord and those who love him, those who have invited him in to stay. Have you?